Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Holy crap, 100. I can't believe that I have reached this milestone. It feels like yesterday I was just learning what a podcast was and what that stupid purple apple app was. When I decided to give podcasting a try, I reached out to my friends Jeff and Jeff. We met in real life at the Wine Bloggers Conference a couple of years ago, and we had a blast. I don't think I laughed as hard ever as when I was with them, and they are one of the top reasons why I got into podcasting. If you aren't familiar with their podcast, you are missing out. Jeff Eccles, Jeff Solomon, and John Rujak are the lively personalities behind the We Like Drinking podcast, the only two-time award-winning podcast that focuses on fun. I can't honestly say it is the first podcast I ever listened to, but what I can say is that it is definitely the longest. I have subscribed and unsubscribed from many podcasts, but these guys rock, and once I subscribed, I never once thought about hitting that unsubscribe button. You don't know what you are going to get each week. It's always a surprise, and that's what makes it amazing. I continue to laugh my ass off week after week, and they are 220 plus weeks into podcasting. So when I sat down and thought what I wanted to do for my 100th, I wanted to talk to the guys who had a major role in me choosing to start down this path. They are witty, they are charming, and they are hilarious. So thank you guys for celebrating this podcast milestone with me, and thank you to all of you who listen in every week, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't continue doing this. Sláinte! And welcome to Dracena Wines. Hi. This is going to be my 100th podcast episode, which I honestly can't believe. Thank you. I honestly can't believe I'm at 100 because it seems like yesterday I was like, oh, here's this podcast. Let me try this, you know, something new to do. And 100 episodes later, here I am. So everybody is always asking, well, what are you doing for that special occasion? What are you doing? And what popped into my head is talking to these guys, because the We Like Drinking team, they're kind of the first podcast that I started listening to. And although there's been podcasts that come and go in my podcast listening repertoire, these guys are never gone. Friday morning, I get in my car, and no matter what I'm listening to, it shuts off, and the We Like Drinking comes on, so I can laugh my way to work, because by Friday I need to laugh my way to work.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Lori. That's so kind of you. You're the best, Lori. We do anything for you.
So thank you. Thank you. I know you guys recorded last night. So I appreciate going back to back for me. I've had people look at me really weird driving because I'm laughing in my car and there's nobody else in the car with me. So, yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyway, Solomon, you weren't on when I let them know that, but I thought that the proper way to introduce or to start off this podcast and tribute to you guys was to do a grape hop or pop, which I know you don't call it that anymore, but that's what sticks in my head. So I have a grape hop or pop for you guys. So
awesome.
And the word of the day is arbor. No umlauts.
Lori, could you spell that for us,
please? I can. It is A-R-B-O-R. Arbor.
Arbor. Hmm. Arbor. You know, I'd like to take this first, if y'all don't mind. Because I don't know if you know this or not. I grew up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. I grew up in a tiny little town called Ben Lomond, and so congratulations to anybody who's ever heard of that place. And
there's a record store on every corner.
This is.
And I do believe you used to work in a record store.
I did. But bring it back to me some more. I grew up on a road called Glen Arbor Road, and so as a little kid, I always was like, I just thought that was like a neat word. When I hear the word arbor, I think of trees. I think arboreal. I think of Arbor Day. I think what you're going for here, Lori, when you bring up arbor, is I think it has something to do with Arbor Mist, which is a wine cooler. So I'm going to say it's some sort of grape. When you're talking about arbor, you're talking about grapes. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
So my question is it grape hopper pop culture or is it wine beer or pop culture? Which one are we doing?
It would be wine beer or pop culture.
Okay. I am going to say this is a wine term as well that has something to do with maybe a trellising, like the wood that you use to like create the trellis, something along those lines.
All right. John?
Yeah, I think at Arbor, my grandparents always used to say, go out to the Arbor, there's a fox turtle out there. And like, okay, so it's a trellis that wines don't only grow up, but they grow over. So it almost creates like a cave type of deal. So there's vines everywhere creating kind of a little room.
So it's probably like in some like really like old world region, you probably see a lot more arbor trellising just because it looked cool and it wasn't really like the best thing for the grapes.
Oh.
And if you're going to use it in Arbor Mist, that's
so it's a wine term.
It's a wine term. All right. Well, John, I actually picked this for you because
Apparently we're all wrong.
Because you always want a pop culture reference.
Yes, he does.
So I went with, it is kind of a combo wine and pop culture reference because April 14th is a big day for us. Well, not for Dracaena Wines, just for the world. Do you guys know what April 14th is? What's so important about that day?
My wife's doing a triathlon.
Oh. It's the day before taxes are due.
Is it Arbor Day?
It is not Arbor Day. It is the first episode of the final season of Game of Thrones. There you go. And Arbor is the largest island in southwestern Westeros. And they are known for the best, highest quality wine in all of the Game of Thrones world.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Sure, you're saying this to somebody who, number one, doesn't watch the show, but number two, I got Dish Network, and apparently they're not getting along with HBO anymore, so I couldn't watch it if I wanted to.
Oh, I would have to change.
Dish Network? I'm sorry, I'm burning bridges. Can I swear on this show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're the worst. Go sit on a tack, Dish Network. More like jerks that don't give me HBO. Yeah.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Wow. You better get a buddy real soon so you can watch. Although if you watch the final episode, the final season, you're not going to know what the hell's going on.
That's like coming in on the last season.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to watch episode 5 of the last season and draw all conclusions from that.
Oh, there's a lot of sex in that last episode, so.
There you go.
It pretty much is sex from the beginning to the end and a few deaths in between.
isn't that series in a nutshell?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. I actually read all of the books.
Did you really?
I did.
I got halfway through the first one and just couldn't go any farther.
Oh, man.
I got to the fourth, but once the Red Wedding had happened, and, like, everybody in the whole series was dead, and it started with the next one, I was like, I can't start over with this.
It went away. It's like, the first season was the first book. The second season was, like, the second book. And then, that was it.
And then
you know.
Out the door, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember that Red Wedding. I went into work the next day, and everybody was like, oh, my God, do you believe what happened? Oh, my, I'm like, well, I read the book, so kind of knew it was coming, you know?
You just push your glasses up on the ridge of your nose, like, yeah, I knew that already.
Yeah, but those were tough books to read because that was like before the Kindle or you know the iPad or whatever. So I actually lugged those 1,100 pounds or 1,100 page books to Cancun and back. It was like insane. It was insane.
12 pages describing the sigil of one house. Very descriptive books.
Yes, yes. But that, awesome. An awesome, awesome show. And Jeff, if you're really into it, you should Google Jimmy Fallon with Aria for April Fool's Day. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I have been trying my hardest to stay away from all things Game of Thrones.
No, you can watch this. This is okay. You can watch it. It's well worth watching it. It's like 2 minutes.
I'll check it out.
It is awesome. So there you have it. All right. So Game of Thrones. I'm all excited. All right. So 100th episode. You guys are on
21 we're releasing this week.
121. Holy cow. Holy
yeah,
cow.
Isn't that crazy? But congratulations, 100 is a huge milestone that you really should be proud of. I know I see so many shows that are 7, 8, 9 episodes is all they get out. Or it's they do 8 and then a year later they do another one and then 6 months later they do another one. So you know, you've been very consistent about it, and you should be really proud of that, and a huge congratulations to you on this.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that is huge, and it's not easy to put content out every single week, especially in this medium. I think that a lot of times people can kind of, like, scan through the written word, but when they hear somebody or, like, people that put out videos, when they see somebody – it's so much more of a vulnerable situation. And I know, especially like for me as a guy that says, every other word, like that's something like I listen and I listen to myself and I cringe sometimes and I'm so fearful of what other folks are going to say. But, I've found that folks have always been positive, towards us and our podcast. And I'm just so happy that you've been sticking with it that long. And I hope that we don't look at episode 100 as, okay, I made it. Now I'm done. Keep plugging away.
Keep going. You gotta, you know, hopefully you'll always be 121 episodes behind, but.
Yeah. Well, you guys know me. I don't really give up things pretty easily.
Well, I was kind of wondering where you find the time to do this. I was wondering, are you somewhere on a plane right now recording this?
I am actually in New Jersey now, but I will be on a plane in 7 days.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't know where I am, which coast I'm on, but yeah.
So right now you're getting pictures of Bud Break and you're just excited to get out there and see what the vines are doing. And
yeah, we are actually we are actually not quite at bud break yet. Our vineyard isn't. The west side, there's a couple of photos of bud break already happening. But we – pictures, and we weren't near bud break yet.
See, I base everything off of the one vine in my backyard.
Are you at bud break yet? Is it there yet?
Yeah. So the only thing that I'm waiting on my Cabernet Sauvignon, but like my Sangiovese is thriving. My Merlot's breaking out right now. But you know, I think warmth is a, it's a different issue when you're right up against a house, like kind of imagine
right.
Things happen a little quicker.
So the interesting thing, our actual vineyard site where the Cab Franc is, even though it's the east side, that normally doesn't have a marine layer, our vineyard site actually gets a marine layer, kind of, sort of, a pocket of it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we're a little cooler. I'm sure we're there now. You know, it's a week later, and it's been warm. It wasn't there. We had loads of beautiful ground cover. And everything is so green. It's amazing. But no bud break yet. But Niner had bud break. They were doing it, and I saw a couple of other wineries having bud break already.
Yep.
I was just going to ask Solomon if he's going to think he's going to double his Zinfandel production this year.
I may, you know, if a rat didn't mow down that vine like 2 years ago, I think I'd be more than double at this point.
two grapes, yeah.
I did forget to ask what everybody's drinking, so.
What do you got, John?
I had a Bristol oatmeal stout, or a Breckenridge oatmeal stout. I may have to go out to the Founders here.
You only brought one beer to a podcast?
I did drink 90% of a bottle of Audax last night all by myself.
Oh, I remember. Not sure if you do, but I remember.
I don't, yeah.
You know what you did. So, yeah, I actually... I brought beer to the show too, just because I wanted us to bring like our we like drinking flair, and I, you always have such wonderful guests. I was really excited when I was listening to your last episode where you had like a panel. That guy John Taylor, I really enjoyed listening to him, and I need to go visit my local grocery outlet based on that conversation.
That episode got me all kinds of fired up though.
Yeah, so I actually, there's a beer that's quasi-seasonal that Stone releases sometimes once a year, sometimes every couple of years. This is their Enjoy By series. It's the Enjoy By 42019 Double IPA. It's a devastatingly dank double IPA. So everybody,
with cannabis. It's 420.
Welcome to the dank side. There's no cannabis in it, but it is... It's got aromas of the sticky icky right now. So, it's wonderful. And it's in a can. I don't think I've ever seen Enjoy By in a can before. So,
I haven't. I was going to say that.
I'm excited to see craft breweries go to cans, and I am hoping that craft wineries, more of them, will follow suit.
Is that a hint?
No. You do, like... And here's the thing. I would say, like, especially, like, smaller label breweries, I totally get it, because everything that you do you need to make sure that it's selling. And so even though you might be really in favor of screw caps, if you know that it's going to turn off some segment of your market, why would you do that? You know what I mean? I really, maybe I'm speaking to – like the Ridge Vineyards of the world with their money coming in from Japan, like, you know, do a series in a can. People will buy it. People will fucking buy it.
Do you know, are you familiar with Fiction Wine?
No.
Fiction Wine has a whole line of canned wine. They actually have a wine club. One of their wine club options is all cans.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. It's good stuff, too. It's really good stuff.
It's good?
Yeah, it's good. Awesome. Yeah. The biggest problem is that you're drinking a can of wine, like, you know, like this.
You're knocking it back like a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
It's one thing about cans is I still like to pour it into a glass. I don't like to pull it straight out of the can.
Yeah, but even if you're pouring it into the glass, your mindset is, oh, it's a can.
Right.
Versus, oh, I just drank a whole bottle. You know, it's...
John.
Yeah.
What? Why is everybody looking at me?
So I am going with the Domaine Font de Michel Chateau Neuf Pop. I got a little CDP here. This is 2016. Actually had this a few weeks ago on the show, but thanks to my little re-pour, I'm able to finish it off tonight.
Very nice.
I like that one.
It was a very good one. Yeah. I still haven't opened the white.
Look at this guy. White cat. Ever the businessman. He's like, here's the Chateau de Pop I got from our sponsor, and I used a re-pour to keep it fresh. Who else you want to plug on somebody else's show?
Whoever I want.
ABS, always be selling.
Always be selling. Always be selling. Absolutely. This,
and how about you?
I am drinking a sample also, Colomé Estate Malbec, but it was sent, it's actually owned by the Hess Collection. So.
Okay.
Donald Hess, Napa wasn't enough, wanted to go out and explore some more, and purchased two different wineries. So Colomé is actually the oldest working winery in the state, in the country of Argentina. So it's been producing wine since 1831.
Wow.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. Like anybody who's ever visited the Hess Collection in Napa.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really neat things about it is this, it's this wonderful art museum where you like, you can get your taste and then just walk around and look at some crazy exhibits. So it kind of makes sense. Like, you know, let me buy up like the most fascinating historical place, in all of, Argentina.
Yes.
So that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, and that the art exhibits are amazing at Hess. The only problem is getting to Hess is like the road is, you know, all spiral, and unless I'm driving, I'm yakking. So.
See, I don't know if you know this or not, but I grew up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, so driving windy roads is my thing.
I can drive it.
Beautiful.
I can drive it. I just can't be the passenger in it. It's
but you know, then you can't.
You don't
then
really
can't
help
drink.
If you're the passenger, just read a book while you're doing
Oh
it.
Yeah. I'll grab that 1,100 page Game of Thrones book and.
There you go.
Just bring a little Dixie cup in case you spew.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit of color plate on that color plates in the middle of that Game of Thrones book.
All right, so let's get to interviewing you guys. How did you guys get together? Who came up with the podcast idea?
Well, I don't know if you remember. We used to have a gentleman on the show named Jim Myers. He was also the beer guy. When we first launched, we had two beer guys and two wine guys. And so Jim and John and I were all on a hockey team here in Colorado Springs together. And we have another gentleman on our show named Sean. And he had a website called We Like Shooting. And it was focused on Second Amendment and firearm reviews and that kind of stuff. And they decided to start up a podcast, and it blew up. And so we were watching this blow up, and we were talking about it after hockey one night. And it was like, why don't we have a We Like Drinking website? You know, I mean, we've got a brewer, and we got two guys that like to homebrew. I'm a certified specialist of wine. You know, we've got all this knowledge and we love to do it. We love to hang out. So let's start a show, or let's start a website. I think he started off at the podcast. Yeah, too. And so we're like, okay, we've got two beer guys and a wine guy. We need another wine guy. And I'm like, I've got just the guy. I got this cool guy down in California. We'll be able to make it work. And so I called him. Somehow I had his number. I don't know how I had even had your number at the time. I think I may have to message you on Twitter to get your number. And I was like, called him, and I'm like, hey, man, we're going to start a podcast. Do you want to? And he said, I'm in. I didn't even get to finish the question. And he was like, yeah, I'm in. I'm totally out. Let's do that. That's how it got started.
Yeah, Eccles called me at just the right time because, you know, Eccles and I kind of – we met online, bro, which sounds really cool. We met online because we both had our own wine blogs before all of this, and both of us around the same time were making our own wine videos, and we would actually see each other's posts and comment on that. I think we both would run into each other quite a bit in the comment section of Wine Library TV and the Daily Grape. And so, you know, we were just kind of aware of each other. We just, you know, started a little friendship in terms of, like, you know, we'd see each other's videos and we'd comment on each other. And it was kind of neat. So around the time I had my first son, and now I got my third on the way, around that time I slowed down with making videos because it takes a long time. And when Eccles gave me this call and he said, look, man, all I need is you committed to an hour a week sitting in front of your TV, drinking and talking trash. I said, I don't have to do anything else. He said, no, man. I said, I am good.
I'm your guy.
And I say this not just because it's a little wacky to say it, but I also say it to let everybody know that I don't think Jeff Eccles gets enough credit for how much work he puts into really making our podcast happen. And I will say this to anybody who is behind the scenes producing a podcast, regardless of how long you've been doing it for, I understand just how much work you're putting into that. And so, Lori, again, like, we're not playing when we say, like, congratulations to getting to 100, especially when I know you got a lot of guests that come on, but really it sounds like it's a one-woman show, and you're killing it. And we know that, and we respect that so much.
Aw, thanks. Oh, blush, blush, blush. It is, I think the recording, like, this is the easy part, you know. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get on and talk to people and do whatever you want to do, you know. It's the, you know, for that hour podcast, it's like 2.5 hour editing.
Editing session. You know, and...
at least it is for me, because half the time I don't know what I'm doing, so. the last episode that is going to be episode 99, I edited and then somehow still don't know how I did it. I had a cut to put something in the middle, and my beginning became my end and my end became my beginning. So that took me like another half hour to figure out how to get it back, because the undo was not the correct way to do it.
Oh no.
But thanks to thanks to other errors, I have now learned that once I get to a certain point, I save it and then I restart, so that if I do something stupid like that, I don't have to start from the beginning again. So yeah. I learned from my stupidity.
Yeah, then we all make those same mistakes. It gets to a point where it's so painful that you're like, okay, I have to change something.
Yep.
I'm going to leave the room, go somewhere else, bang my head against the wall, and come back.
That sometimes that's about right. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you guys have brought up the hockey thing, quite a bit. This in my head, I'm envisioning a beer hockey league, right? Is like, yes. You guys were not
100%.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There was no talent. Well, especially for my skate, there was no talent when this guy got on the skate. We were called the J line, because we're everybody start their name started with J, and it was like, whatever the last line possible is, that's you three. So just don't get scored on. That's your only mission.
That was you guys, not me.
Yeah, I didn't say you were on it.
Yeah, but my name starts with a J.
Of course, John's got to jump in and says, see, that's how bad I was. John's like, dude, do not put me in your category.
I just want to let everybody know that my plus minus in hockey is at a solid zero right now. So, there's something
impressive
to be said for not even trying. I think I could get a contract in the NHL.
There you go.
But it was a great group of guys. Like, I had, even though I sucked, our team was good, and I mean, there's been some lifelong friends that have come out of that, you know, John and Jim especially. So yeah, it was a lot of fun when it was there.
What position did you play?
I was generally a winger and then moved to center towards the end because I was more of the Energizer Bunny than anybody else.
Yeah. Jeff has some wheels. He didn't know where the wheels were going, but at least they were turning.
Well, I got to, one of my highlights of my life was meeting Ty Domi.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. I loved that man.
He didn't punch you, did he?
No, he hugged me and I got an XOXO on my jacket that is still in the plastic because my husband refuses to let me hang it in the house. But he was signing autographs someplace and I went to the sports place early because I thought like everybody wants to meet Ty Domi, you know, not really the case, but so I got there and I had, my Rangers jacket and I had a photograph of him and I wanted him to sign them both. So I gave him my jacket first and he, you know, he signs it to Lori, XOXO, love Ty Domi. And I was like, you know, whatever. Pretty much the only words that came out of my mouth were, I love you. and then I went to go give him the picture for him to sign. And his manager was like, no, he only signs one thing. And I was like, whatever, I'm so upset. And he looked at the photo, and the photo was an amazing shot that I took. I was in the front row right up against the glass, and he was in a fight. And the shot is him grabbing the guy's jersey. His hand is up like this, and there's blood coming out of the guy's mouth. Like, it was the perfect shot. He laughed his ass off at the photo, took it, and signed it, you know?
It's a good thing he was able to pass on some hockey genes because his son is a hell of a lot better player than he was.
Yeah, well,
from a talent standpoint, his son Max is one heck of a hockey player. Wow.
Ty knew what his role was.
Yes.
He knew what his role was, and he did it very, very well.
Yeah, he did it well. Rob Ray and the Sabres, yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Did you know that Dracena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokes dog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year. Your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a planned maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. All right. So what is, we kind of talked about like my errors or whatever, but what is your funniest memory since you guys have been podcasting?
I can't remember, but man, we laughed so hard a couple of times.
You know what my favorite thing is? So I'm sorry, my hair is just out of control right now. So my favorite thing is, so I live here in Gilroy, California, which is on the outskirts of Santa Clara County in the hub of the Silicon Valley. And I have the worst internet connection out of anybody on this show. And there was a period of time where I could just bank on it. Like, we would start the show, and 5 minutes in, I could just count it down, 3, 2, 1. My internet was toast, and everybody was a robot. And we're recording this one episode, and I am just so frustrated. I just throw my headset down, and I pick up the phone, and while we're recording, I'm screaming at my internet provider, and they're busted up, and I'm like, I don't care if this makes it on the air. My internet sucks anyways. They probably can't hear this. I need to take care of this now. I love capturing those real moments. And so, like, I love when I or anybody else on the show just gets genuinely fired up about stuff, right? Because I love that as a listener of the podcast, you have no choice. You have to hear me and you can't say anything back.
I can't, you know, the funniest things, I can't remember them. I just know there's so many that my side hurts so much doing it on the show. And then walking the dogs, like, after the show's released and listening it while I'm walking around the neighborhood, and I'm just, you know, here comes that crazy dude the last two blocks, and he's just laughing his ass off while, while he's walking his dogs. I'm like, oh, my God. It's, there's just so many funny things. I mean, 200 shows. I mean, almost every one of them, there's at least a really good laugh, and a couple of them have just been layout on the floor hilarious. I wish I could remember them, but there's just so many. It's just so fun.
Yeah. So I can't think of any real specific moments. I can think of a couple.
Stabbing Chewbacca. That wasn't even on that show.
Stabbing Chewbacca is one of my favorites. But there's a consistently funny thing that there's a lot of consistently funny things that happen on the show. More when we did smoked whale testicles a lot. But, you know, we got to a point where we started prepping people about the things that we would do that would probably catch them off guard. But for a while we didn't, or sometimes we wouldn't. And just to see the reaction on someone's face when John would start talking, you know, we're sitting there talking about, you know, something to do with salinity or something in a wine, and all of a sudden John says something about smoked whale testicles, and see the eyes on the guest just get plate size looking at us. Yeah. Or there's this other thing we do at the end of our show where I'll say, thanks again for joining us at the We Like Drinking podcast. And we kind of all in this sing-songy voice say, where you never drink alone. But we all punch our camera. I don't know why we do it. It was something, I think I came up with it like in episode 4 or 5. But we've always done it. And so we always prep the guest about that it's going to happen. But an hour and a half later, they're not remembering it. So we start doing it, and we're always like this. The guests can't see it, but I've got my hand back behind me, and I'm like wrapping it up like I'm going to throw a big right hook. And once we start doing it, the guest remembers. And sometimes you can even hear it. You can even hear them be like, oh, hello, you know, and so they jump in. And they're just laughing when they get done with it. And so it's those – it's – you know, Jeff is for Solomon is when people get fired up, but for me, it's when we generally get them laughing, like truly laughing, not like on a show laughing, but when they get laughing at something, those are consistently the moments that I love the best.
I don't think we prepped Madeline Puckett for smoked whale testicles.
No, we did not.
We didn't, and I think that was right after Madeline was on the show that we started prepping people. Yeah. Because she just went, ooh, and all the color went out of her face. And I'm like, what the F did I get myself into?
There's that moment, too, a lot at the beginning of the show where the people are like, you can tell. I've gotten to the point now where I ask them, like, have you ever listened to one of our shows? And they'll be like, no. I'm like, no. Well, you're in for something, man. And 3 minutes in, you can just see them like,
deer in headlights.
Yeah, what on earth did I sign up for?
I think one of the funniest things that we've had him on twice is Peter Stafford Bowe has been on the show twice, and he always does it on this green phone. Because Big Brother or something is watching in England,
It's just, that's the only thing that he has that's USB. He's got this, like, do you remember, Laura, you may not, but do you, like, the Fisher-Price pull-along phone, like, that we had?
With the eyeballs that went
up and down? Oh,
yeah! Bounce up and down, and it had that ringer on it, the handset, the plastic handset. That's honestly what it looks like when he joins us for his call. And that's
like a lime green.
Yeah, it's lime green, and it's USB, so the whole show... And he's British, so he's just on there. Oh yeah, you know. And then you know, he's like, it's just, it's fun.
You know what's also really fun about doing a podcast, and I actually was wondering your perspective on this, Lori, is, you know, we record every single week, and usually we end up getting things pushed out a day or two after we record it, and so. When we listen to ourselves, often it's things that are really fresh in our mind. But you know what I love is every once in a while we will have an episode that's just in the can waiting to be released, and it's 3 or 4 weeks out, and we're listening, and I have to listen just to, like, really listen to where we mess things up. But it's really fun to listen to yourself a couple of weeks out, and – you're listening to this conversation and you think up something funny in your own head, and then all of a sudden you hear yourself saying the exact same thing that you were just thinking. Do you ever have experiences like that? Like, do you ever listen to things like a couple weeks out and you're like, whoa, I said that?
So I do not. I get things out, but my podcasts are mostly done like, I went to VinExpo. So there were 4 podcasts that I created from VinExpo. So, you know, I edit them and then they go, 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 go. So like right now, this is episode 100, but it won't be till the end of April, you know, when it becomes live. It's very rare that I do something and then it's very next week. Mostly Saturday, just because I just can't between the job, the winery, the blog, the, you know, all of that. I have to do everything in bulk. But yeah, so I'm always, you know, like I'll be talking to somebody and he'll say something, or, you know, she'll say something and it will pop in my head like, oh, I should have asked this. And then, oh, okay, I did ask that, you know, you know. And sometimes I'm really, really grateful that there isn't a video and they were saying something that just was not right. That just, you know, was not right. And, they were going off and I'm like, you know, yeah. And then, you know, they stopped talking and I was like, well, that's really, you know, that's a very odd statement because, you know, from my understanding, that's kind of illegal, what you know, what, you know, what you're saying. Hello, I can, you know, we're the only ones who can do this. And I'm like, oh, I'm, all right, if you're the only ones who can do it, but pretty sure you can't, you know. I read somewhere that the people who say are more intelligent than.
I'll take it. Just another one. Just blowing myself up.
It just means there's so many things going on in your head that you don't know which one to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take that. I take that as a compliment. I've got, you know, there's so much happening in there, you know, those neurons are just, you know, flying. What is your biggest, so we did the funniest, what's your biggest uh-oh moment?
You know, I have to say, again, credit to Jeff Eccles, because he's a master of editing. And, you know, if there was ever anything, like, that we said on the show that was just, like, way out of line, we might say, like, you know, can you leave that out? And I don't think he's ever, like, left those moments in. And we don't, you know, he doesn't really cut out much of anything unless it's just necessary. there have been times where I might have just went off the handle and said the wrong thing, and I was like, I regret it later down the road, and then I listened to the show, and it was not there, and I'm like, there you go, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I appreciate that. That was solid. I don't know. Like, is there anything that really jumps out to you guys? Like,
yeah, there's one thing I truly regret, and it bothers me to this day, is when we had John Hall on, and I kind of made light of the fact that the place where he had worked had gone under, because the dude that bought it just ran it into the ground. But he obviously had a lot of pride in it, and he put a lot of work in that organization for a long time. And I was just like, this guy screwed it up. And I could tell that I kind of hurt his feelings, because it was something, even though it wasn't his fault that this happened, it's a business that went under that he had spent a lot of time and energy at. And to this day, I still regret kind of laughing that off.
Mm. Okay. I have
okay.
So you said John Hall, and I went Oates. That was the first thing that went into my
head. No, don't fuel him.
No, yeah. You know what I was thinking about that goes back to, you know, listening to things after the fact? I recall that we had a PR person that wanted to get somebody on the show that had some sort of invention that would take sulfites out of wines. And Eccles said to them, you know, we talked about that product on our show one time, and we didn't necessarily have, like, the greatest things to say about it. And I guess the PR person had gone back and listened to that episode, and she was not very happy. And I was like, really? I'm like, what did we even say? And this was like something we had done like 3 years beforehand.
But before Jeff continues, I do want to say that we have a great relationship with that person now. It's a fantastic relationship now.
We certainly do. And it was just like, it was, I was like, what could I have even said? And then
it was pretty inflammatory.
Back and I listen to myself. And basically what I said was...
No, let's be honest. You didn't say anything. You screamed.
I yelled. I said, if you think you have a sulfite allergy, I got news for you. You're not that special. I shouldn't have said that, because obviously there are people that do have sulfite allergies, and that's kind of, you know, messed up. So, but... That was a little bit of an uh-oh after the fact.
So I have two huge uh-oh moments that Lori, you may relate to. The first was this was not my cause. I didn't cause this one, but we had a gentleman named Jonathan Cooper on the show. He had invented this game called Thinking and Drinking. And so we had him on the show. We recorded the episode, and at the time, I used Google Hangout as my recording device. So I would just download the show afterwards, split it from MP4 to MP3, and then use that audio for my episode. Well, that night, whatever in Googleville went tits up, and I lost the recording. And so I got like 3 minutes of an hour and a half conversation. So I had to go back to him, and that was a Wednesday night, really release on Friday. So I had to go back to him the next morning and be like, I got this ticket open with Google, but at this point we've lost the show. And so if you want to be on our show, we're going to have to do another episode tonight. And he was like, okay. And he had it like a small child. And so he came back on the show, and I was super nervous about the show, because I'm like, this is going to be such a train wreck. And I remember because generally when we have a guest on the show, we're like, can you record an intro for us? Like a pre-launch. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, so I'm here on the We Like Drinking show. And he's like, and where? Sometime. Where you never drink alone. And sometimes you have to do it twice. Two nights in a row, you know, or something like that.
It's the best pre-show.
It is. But we lost it. We all just started laughing.
And I wasn't even on that one.
Yeah. So that was one. And then the second one was a point where I thought the show might not survive. So we had done a blind white wine tasting for like our tasting episode, right? And so we record the show. So it's blind. So we all taste it and then we pour it and then we reveal it. I get done with the show. Two things happen. At this point, I was recording on Audacity and doing the Google Hangout as a backup. I never hit go live on the Google Hangout and I never hit record on Audacity. So we did an entire show of blind white wine tasting and never recorded a second of it. And so I had to, everybody was still on and I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, you guys, we didn't record anything. And I saw John just kind of slump. I saw Jeff just go red. And I've never seen Solomon that mad before.
He left the room.
He left the room.
The Chardonnay I drank that night was horrible. That was a rough one. That's true.
And so we had to do it right then and there because I can't remember if we were recording on a Thursday or if we couldn't record on a Thursday, but we had to do the whole show again. So it was like a 4 or 5 hour night and it went from a blind white tasting to just kind of like a shitty $10 white wine tasting. It was bad. That was the biggest uh-oh moment.
I wasn't sure Solomon was coming back in the room.
I really didn't think he was.
He was gone 15 minutes.
I thought I was going to get a text of just F you, and then come in and his laptop just close.
That's a big one. It was
bad. That was a bad one.
Yeah. I've forgotten to press Audacity. I've forgotten to do the Audacity. But because it goes to YouTube, you can just download the audio from YouTube. But if you don't push either button, you're in trouble. Yeah,
when you forget to do your primary and your backup, nothing good is going to happen.
All right. So do you guys remember your 100th?
Yeah.
John's like, no.
Absolutely, I remember.
Oh, we did like a best of clips show, right?
No, we didn't.
Was that number 99?
We did
a clip show.
We did the clip episode. I think was our 1 year anniversary,
right?
And we did this whole thing. Like, it was my first realization of how big each number is. Like, I never really truly understood how much time each number represents, that one episode equals a week. Because I was like, okay, for our last five episodes leading up to episode 100, we're going to bring back a bunch of our favorite guests and have them on. I'm like, it's five shows. It's no big deal. You know, that's over a month of us promoting and leading up to episode 100. And we overhyped the shit out of episode 100. But, you know, we had Val and Steph from Wine 25 podcast. We had Jeff Kralik, the mayor of the mayor of the Wine Bloggers Conference, and Joe Roberts on, together for one of those episodes. You know, we had the who's of Ben up our episode leading up to it. And then for episode 100, we brought Jim Myers back on the show.
Who had been
with us for, you know, the first 20 or 30 episodes. And it was a normal episode. And so I think there were some faults that we made and that we had all this lead up to episode 100. And then we just made it a normal episode with a really good friend of ours, you know? So, but yeah, I absolutely remember episode 100. Well,
Jaws, I do not remember a thing.
Now that Jeff brings it back to me, yeah, I remember it, but just thinking about it, it was just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's almost, I really try to take it, it's a bad sports cliche, one week at a time. You know, it's just like last, you know, I make mistakes, we all make mistakes, so, you know, it's just like, okay, boom, what am I going to do this week to make it the best I could possibly make it for the guys?
It was also, you know, 3 years ago, and we've killed a lot of brain cells in that time frame, so.
Well, no kidding. Well, me especially. Well, you know, but, you know, by the time every show, you know, I put in a 10 or 11 hour day at the brewery, and then, you know, there's no stopping.
And it's, the other funny thing is, since episode 100, we haven't celebrated anything. Not a freaking thing. John, one day, like a little while ago, was like, haven't we been, isn't like this anniversary, like our fourth year anniversary? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I think 5 years we should do something, but yeah.
And on location. You need to do an on location thing.
That's what, I mean, that is the biggest thing that we need to do. That is, if there's regrets, that's my biggest regret so far.
It's that I haven't all been in the same place at the same time.
Yep.
There you go. I just settled that problem for you.
We've had episodes where, you know, Jeff and John were in the same room, or you know, before we went to the Wine Bloggers conference, like Jeff was in this very room after I threw up in front of him doing a beer mile. And I will say, like, those episodes are fine, but it definitely feels different. I think we all have, like, our pregame rituals, you know what I mean? Like, I've got my space, I gotta stretch my shit out. I'm eating dinner when we record, like, so, you know, I'd love for us to all be together and record some stuff, but I think on some level it's kind of fun that we all have our own little sound booths, you know?
Yeah, but I think if we all three of us got together in the same location, it would just be a shit show. It would be a funny ass shit show.
And the after party would be
out of control. Yeah. Out of control. I think you guys need to do it because I think it would be hysterical.
It's going to happen. We've talked about possibly this or actually making it happen. So.
There you go.
It's possible. This summer, if enough people like request it, we might make it happen this summer.
Just, all right. So I'll just put it in the tavern, and I'm sure they'll all.
If we get one more Patreon.
There you go. You blew that Patreon thing right out of the water. So
Matt, I tell you what, I was shocked at how well that went over. That really blew me away.
Yeah. See? Now, if we get enough Patreons, we will be in the same room together.
Yep. We may lose
that one. You know what? Wouldn't it be cool to lose 4 or 5 Patreons recording a show from the Santa Cruz Bruise Cruise? Just kidding.
I did. You know, we were on that. That's a freaking awesome cruise.
Oh, really?
Yes. In fact, I have a picture. I have a picture in my office of Mike and I on that booze cruise.
Was Annie driving you?
Oh, Jesus Christ! I was hammered. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is they just kept bringing us pizza and kept bringing us beer. It was good. We didn't have to move. Mike's Facebook picture is from that cruise. Yeah, that's a good cruise. I keep going, we need to do that again. That was fun. But anyways, I want to thank you guys for doing this with me and celebrating my 100th. Like I said at the beginning, you guys rock. I love you guys. And I said to Eccles earlier, I said, you know, I love Solomon and you. And John, I'd love you too in the same way if I ever met you, I'm sure. Yeah.
You gotta pack him into a clown car though. That's how we really get to know each other.
That's when you bond. In the clown car is where you bond.
Well, I mean, it's such an honor that you would choose us to come on for your 100th episode. You know, it's it's funny because you probably see it too, is you don't think you really, you know, you get in a microphone and you talk to somebody and then that's it, you know, and you don't realize that you actually touch people's lives and that you make an impact on them and that they do get to know you through this, and that you would have us on for such a milestone episode is really an honor for us.
Really, yeah. Super, super cool. You know, it's like, wow, that's, we made an impression, and how the heck did that happen?
Yeah. No, I was going to say, and I think that's maybe like the magic experience of, you know, to promote the Wine Bloggers Conference or the Wine Media Conference, I was thinking about, you know, you leaned over to me at one point, Lori, and you said something about our podcast. I'm like, wait a second, you listen to our podcast? And I'm like, huh? And I'm like, nobody listens to our podcast. You're like, no, let me tell you about your podcast. And I'm like, what? Huh? And so it's super awesome just to even like know that anybody's out there listening, and it's so fun to just listen to other people just doing great things with this medium in this space about this subject. And Lori, you're killing it. We can't say enough great things about you.
Aw, thank you. Thank you.
I gotta say, Lori, though, I really thought for this episode that you would have shipped out 3 bottles of your super blue Blood Moon rosé.
And I, you know, so I was laughing when Solomon, you said that I rearranged my bottling for that. And Echo's like, no, she did not rearrange.
That in no way happened. Solomon, stop lying about our friends.
this year was bottled on Valentine's Day. I guess I like a holiday theme with the rosé.
There you go. Was that the super blue worm moon?
That was the worm moon. I'm telling you, it's going to be years from now, but when we start getting into making blends, you know, like GSMs and stuff, there's going to be a moon. There's going to be a moon themed one.
Nice. Yes.
It will be years down the road, and I will have to, you know, fight my husband to the ends of the earth, but I am promising you one day there will be a moon wine.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
Sometimes you just have to do things to entertain yourself, you know?
That's right.
Anyway, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it so much. And you guys are awesome. You guys really are. And thank you for making me laugh for 200 some odd episodes, whatever number you are at. I really do. You guys, you have episodes that are educating, you know, that are educational. You have episodes that are just downright hysterical. And your chemistry together is outrageous. You guys work well together. So I raise a glass to you guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Sláinte.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at dracenawines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte.